Back on the field here with Dan Tatora and, of course, a special guest every single week, Robert Drummond from the NFL, CFL, and your Syracuse Orange in Central New York. Rob, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, Dan?
I'm doing well and happy to have you back here on the show. A lot has happened in the few days since we've talked. It seems like every time I step away, you know, step out of your office, so to speak, we have something to talk about within the next 2 hours. It's a very, very busy time for Syracuse, and things are happening very rapidly. Are you surprised at anything that's gone on in the process, the fact that Marone's gone quickly, that Schaefer's in quickly? Has anything surprised you?
And it hasn't surprised me. You know, that's the way the ball bounces, as you could say. You know, a coach in, a coach out, a coordinator out, you know, a player in, a player out. You know, it happens. It, you know, it happens to Syracuse. It happens to the Alabamas. It happens to the USCs. You know, it's just the way that, you know, collegiate sports and professional sports go.
And when you look at this decision, now that it is concrete and that Doug Marone will start there, goes to the Buffalo Bills, having Doug as a friend and having somebody that obviously, you know, you've respected over the years, this decision, now that it's final, what were your thoughts on it?
You know, good for Doug. You know, as I said before, Doug has to do, at the end of the day, what's best for his family. You know, football aside, I'll always be his friend, you know, and that's the most important thing. I can't get in Doug's head, and I can't explain to you what was going through his head when he made his decision, but I understand this. You know, it was the best decision for him at that time. You know, was I upset that Syracuse University alumni, you know, like, turned down Syracuse to go play or attend the NFL and be a part of a professional organization? No, I wasn't, you know, because I know what he did was the best, you know, opportunity for him. I'm glad that Scott Schaefer now has a job, because he's someone who I've known for the past 4 years, who's done a great job. His son, I've actually trained, you know, goes to a local high school where my son goes to also. So it's a great family, a great connection. He'll be a great asset to the Syracuse University football family, you know. So at the end of the day, I can honestly sit here and say that I'm happy.
And Dr. Gross, director of athletics for Syracuse, he had made this statement when he officially was talking about Scott Schaefer being the head coach, that Doug Marone had said to him that Doug considers Scott better for the job than even he was, more prepared for the job than he was. And how do you respond to that?
I mean, that's definitely a situation where, as I said, I've known Doug since 1985, my freshman year at Syracuse, and I've known Scott for the past 4 years. But in the past 4 years, just as a gentleman himself, outside the fact of coaching, where I thought he was doing a great job, you know, he just impressed me as just his attitude of just the way he approached the game, the way he presented himself to me all the time. He was very professional. I mean, he was cordial. You know, he was a gentleman. And that, to me, means more than anything else, because that transfers to the people that come around him. So now these young athletes up in the University Hill, they're going to be around this man who has all these intangibles that I have a lot of respect for, will definitely take them in the right direction and take them in the places and the areas they need to go.
As defensive coordinator, what do you think he has done for the environment at Syracuse in the past few seasons?
Honestly, he's just put an attitude in the young men that they basically go out there, fly around like wild dogs, I could say, and just have fun. The one thing about football that people really don't understand is that, you know, don't take it so serious. It's a game that, you know, a lot of these guys have been playing since they were 5, 6, 7 years old, you know. You get to the point where you stop having fun, you take it too serious, you know, it's not going to be fun for you anymore. So just go out there, fly around, have fun, believe in each other, you know, because it's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. You know, and it takes every component or every player on that field, you know, to basically come together and play well. And Scott got those guys on defense about believing themselves, you know, do with the things that he taught them in practice to do, and just fly around, have fun, and just make the game of football like it was when you were 5, 6, and 7 year old. And that's a testament of the type of person he is and the type of quality that he can bring to this team and do, especially from a defensive standpoint, now a head coaching standpoint.
You look at the last three seasons, Syracuse with Scott Schaefer as their defensive coordinator has figured out a way to take down a top 25 opponent in the nation each of the past three seasons, and silenced each of the past three seasons Geno Smith, who's being regarded that, you know, his draft stock, and he's one of the top quarterbacks that's being talked about. When you look at the fact that Schaefer's done that already, what do you think he can bring to the head coaching position because he's already been so successful on defense?
You know what? More continuity, I'd say. You know, it's just from a standpoint of where I always say, all former players always say, you know what, offense sells tickets, defense wins games. You know, and it's the defense we really rely on when it comes to winning a game, because they're the ones that have to go out there and stop these high-powered offenses. Schaefer knows what it takes to go on defense and be a defensive mindset, I mean, and go out there and basically have the knowledge to shut down a high-powered offense like the Geno Smiths, you know, and the Louisville's, you know. So basically, now he has to go out there now and transfer that to the offensive side of the ball. And if he can get that mindset in his offensive players also that he has in his defensive players, watch out for Syracuse in 2013.
You look at Doug Marrone, when he became the head coach, he was an offensive coordinator on one of the top five offenses, number one twice in the three seasons that he was doing it for the NFL's New Orleans Saints. So you have an offensive-minded head coach. Now you have a defensive-minded, so to speak, head coach and defensive coordinator, Scott Schaefer, moving up to head coach at Syracuse. Are you wary of this? Do you think it's going to cause a lot of changes because you have someone who is offense-driven and now you have someone who's defense-driven? How do you respond to that?
I don't think it's going to create a lot of changes. As I said before, you know, Syracuse, after that Louisville game of last year, basically turned their season around. And Scott's wise enough to understand and know that, you know, these young men believe in themselves right now. If you go into a situation, like I said, when Greg Robinson took over, he basically tried to force-feed an offense and force-feed the style down these players' throat, and that set Syracuse back 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. It really, really did. And I said to myself, you almost have to spoon-feed these kids just so they understand, because it's a transitional change. You know, and when a transitional change happens, you know, these kids have to feel confident about themselves because they're unsure of what's happening. With Scott Schaefer, he's not going to change much. You know, he may make a few tweaks here and there, but he's smart enough to understand that these kids are on a roll. These kids believe in himself. They believe in him because he's a coach who's already been in the staff. They know him. They'll know the staff that's coming back also. So there's a lot of comfortability that'll be with these players. So right there, they can start the ground running. When spring practice happens, it'll be like not a beat missed. Now, yes, they will miss Doug as their head, but now they have a new head who's been there before. So it'll be very, very comfortable, and it'll take off just easily.
How important is it, because we've talked about this, that, you know, you hear about the big names, and we both brought up Jim Tressel and agreed that Floyd Little could even be an option, be it that he's 70 years old, but the fact that, you know, he has such a connection, such a passion, and such a love for the program that he could step in. Now that we know that it's Scott Schaefer, how important is it that they stayed inside and stayed with someone that when Marrone came in, Schaefer came right in there with
him? I think that'll be the difference between success and failure for Syracuse. If they would have been outside, yes, they might have had success in the beginning, but they eventually would have failed because these kids wouldn't have understood this new person coming in. I've been with through coaching changes before during the season, during the Eagles and the CFL, and right there you get a mix of a new guy coming in, putting his stamp on, you know, this team, and it just takes you a while to basically get comfortable. It takes you a while to just understand his system and just try to adapt to this type of person he is. When it's a person here, it just takes over for a certain coach, you know, that has already been there before, and this person's been in the system, it's so much easier transition. And with Syracuse going to the ACC next year, which is a tougher brand of football, that transition for them having Scott Schaefer there will be the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
If you had to make the choice going into the ACC and where Syracuse is now, would you rather have elevated an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator? In your mind, if you had that choice?
If I had that choice, I would have did just what Syracuse did. Elevated someone who the kids are comfortable with. Here's the thing. The coaches don't play the game. The kids play the game. And you want these kids comfortable with who you have, the head coach. Why not have somebody there who's been there before that these kids are comfortable with? You know, they can adapt to. They understand. They've been there for a few years with. So that's what you want. You want continuity when you go in there, because this is the ACC is a new venture for Syracuse. And it's going to be tough, but right now at least they have consistency.
When you look at the fact that now Nathaniel Hackett gone to the Buffalo Bills to join Doug Marrone, if he had stayed, do you think that could, and obviously it has to do with personalities, and we have no reason to believe that there would ever be an issue, but when you have one coordinator rise, have you ever been in a situation where you've seen a coordinator rise to a head coaching position and the rest of the guys, does it create a different type of environment knowing, hey, this guy was on my level and now he's my boss?
I mean, I think as a coordinator of the offense, defense, you really don't worry about that. You try and go out there and put your mark, put your stamp on the offense or defense that you're trying to implement. So I think there was no animosity between Hackett, you know, at all, as a simple fact that, you know, the Schaefer got the job. You know, he was happy for him. He was glad for him. You know, does it change the simple fact that he's going to go out there and perform, you know, or call plays that like he's capable of calling? No, it wouldn't have. You know, but as with Hackett, I think he took the best possible situation for him and his family to put himself in the best possible position to be successful. You know, whether it be at Syracuse or whether it be at Buffalo. He chose Buffalo, so we lost out on that. But you know what? We're resilient at Syracuse. You know, we just have to find another offense coordinator, you know, get back on the horse and start riding again.
Scott Schaefer is the head coach, so defensive coordinator opens up. Now offensive coordinator opens up. So you have those opportunities to find someone that fits both of those molds. And when you look at the staff that's there right now, is there anyone in your mind that you would want to endorse to offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator?
I mean, as I said before, I'm not up there enough to see what Rob Moore or Tyrone Wheatley or the guys of that nature are up there trying to do as far as like being capable of being able to run an offense or run a defense. Do I think Rob or Tyrone from the offensive standpoint are capable? Yes, I do. Is it my call to make? No, it's not. You know, but it's like, as I said before, I'm all for giving younger generation, which those guys are, a chance to be able to go out there and prove themselves, because they understand the game of football and they understand it well. And they've been in that system for quite some time now. And they've been in a system also where their players believe in them as coaches. And that's the one big thing. And that's the one big thing I always try and tell the young children that I train. You know what? The one thing about me, as I played all my years of football, when I believed in a coach, I would go out there and run through a brick wall for him. I listened to everything he said because, you know, he had the confidence to be able to make me believe in him. So if it's a coordinator, or even if it's a coach, your position coach that you believe in, and he becomes a coordinator now, you go out there and work that much harder for him. And that's the one big thing about sports that people pretend not to understand. If you believe in somebody, and these kids believe in Schaefer, you guys can go far.
Schaefer's a guy that obviously you've spent some time with and had a chance to talk to, and I've said to you before that he is a very nice, very calm one-on-one, you know, when we're talking in conversation, hey, Dan, how you doing? And then you see him on the field, and a very vibrant, very emotion-filled, wears it on his sleeve, tells you how he feels type of guy. Is it important for Syracuse to have a coach that has that balance of knows how to speak to the media, but then can go out onto the field and tell his players what's up?
You know, I think it's very important to have a coach of that nature and that stature. I mean, I personally can remember the first time I met Coach Schaefer, and it was a weird the Hotel Syracuse or something downtown. It was for actually a recruiting trip. They were trying to get recruits to sign to Syracuse, and they brought me along, just being a former alumni and former player of Syracuse. And I remember just meeting him and just meeting his family and just saying to myself, wow, what a nice man. You know, he introduced me to his wife, you know, introduced me to his daughter and his son at the time, and they were just the nicest family. And I was like, wow, I don't know who this guy is. Never really heard of him, but, you know, he made an impression on me. And I'm kind of hard on people. You know, if someone makes an impression on me, it's something big to me, because, you know, my most time, obviously, people are selfish. All they care about themselves. And here's this gentleman in a situation where he's a coach. You know, I'm just an outsider, former player looking in, but he treated me as if I was an important one, you know, and I have a lot of respect for people like that. And over the years, I mean, it wasn't just a one-time deal. He's always been respectful like that. Hey, Robert, how's it going? You know, always took the time to make me feel important. And that's very, very important for someone in a position that he is now, because every recruit he walks into the home of now, it's not about him. It's not about Syracuse University. It'll be about the recruit. And that's something huge in the recruiting process.
It's definitely big because, as you said, you know, I can equal those sentiments. The first time that I had an opportunity to talk with Scott Schaefer, that I was going into my first question and was already, you know, what do you think about whatever? And I remember that he stopped me and he looked me in the eye and he said, what's your name? And I said, Dan Satora. And he put his hand out and he said, nice to meet you, Dan. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted to continue. I mean, this is a guy who has manners, he has respect, and he doesn't feel nor does he act as if he is better than the people that he's talking to, which I think is only going to help him in the recruiting process to be able to understand the situations of these high school players that he's trying to bring in, and also to not walk in there as if he's God and that, why wouldn't you play for me? I think that you know, Schaefer's personality is someone who can yell if he needs to, but also understands that he's not the most important person in the room. He shouldn't act like the most important person in the room, and that's something that I think can go a long way. And I know that it left an impression on me that I never forgot.
It left an impression on me also. It's like, and I always say, you know, he's got humble roots. You know, and you can always see that. He's the type of person, even with me, a lot of people say that about me. You'll never know I am who I am because I never explain who I am. I let others explain me, you know, and that makes me feel good. And everyone, I mean, I've had friends before who I've known for months before. Then someone else come along and be like, oh my God, you're Robert Drummond, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they started talking and, like, and then they're like, wait a minute, you play football for who he is? I don't have to explain myself. I don't like explaining myself. You know, it's fine and it's great what I did, but that's the past. I'm so much more than what I did as far on the football field. And that's, you know, and that's what Scott Schaefer is. He's so much more than the SU football coach, you know. He's so much more than the defense coordinator, you know. He's a humble gentleman, and that will go far.
Syracuse coming out in a quick sense of making that decision that Scott Schaefer is going to be the head coach. in the way that they went about everything with the Syracuse athletic department, agree or disagree with how they handled Marone leaving, Schaefer coming in?
That's about the smartest thing Gross did in his 4 years, in the 5 years. No, I'm only kidding. But I think that's, I mean, as far as what they want, may want to consider damage control, that's the best thing they could have done. You know, quickly get settled on a coach, and a coach who's already in the organization, a coach these kids are familiar with, you know, and with their whole recruits now wondering, you know, what's going on and everything. That's the smartest thing they could have did, you know, and it's the best choice they could have made.
The recruits obviously have taken, and this is a world that you didn't live in, where you find out that your coach isn't going to be there. Mm-hmm. You're calling the school, you're trying to figure out, you're calling the guys that you know. In this case, they can go straight to Twitter, straight to Facebook, mm-hmm. tell people how they feel. Of course, people jump on it because there's all these different things going on with these players. When you look at social media and how ingrained it is into society now, what does that do in situations like this for you? I mean, is it truly a negative influence? Do you consider it positive, a little bit of both?
I mean, it's kind of tough. You know, we live in a different age, a different world now, where technology basically is advancing the world as we see it. You know, we've known about Doug Marone before it even happened, you know, because, you know, it's just that's the way Twitter and Facebook go. We knew about Scott Schaefer before it even happened. You know, I told you, I mean, from my sources, I found out, you know, 3-4 days before they confirmed it, you know. So it's a situation as far as recruits where it's tough because here you have these recruits now, and these young men expect the coach to basically call them and be honest with them and tell them. But if the coach doesn't know himself, he hasn't gone to the meeting yet. I mean, I could be a coach getting ready to go on my interview and basically, you know, as soon as I go in, I'd be like, shake your hand and be like, you know, I accept the job. And immediately, before I even walk outside that door, it's you know, it's on Twitter, it's on Facebook, it's everywhere. So I don't have a chance to call you and explain to you. It's like, you know, I decided to accept the job and everything. So now you're upset with me as a coach because, I mean, but I would have called you and told you first, but oh my gosh, it's already out there in the media because we live in a media-filled world. So it's a tough situation, and it's a tough, you know, makeup of what we have in society now because we're basically ruled by social media, and now the media personnel find out before basically any type of, you know, kid or coach can find out. So it's a tough call.
And, you know, with all that information getting out, you know, there's different reports and trying to find what's right, what's not right. When you finally find out that Nathaniel Hackett is leaving, knowing that Marone's gone, knowing Schaefer elevated, I agree that Schaefer is the best for the job, and I'm happy that he's in that position. And it makes me feel good to know that he's there. Looking at Coach Hackett, though, and that he's going, he instituted this no-huddle type of offense, this offense to try and catch the defense off guard, to consistently battle at the defense and push them. You know, something that Syracuse, you didn't see them do. I mean, Syracuse was a use the clock, figure out what you want, look around the field. And Nassib and the rest of the team really bought into this and had a 6-2 finish before they went on to win the Pinstripe Bowl as well. So with having Hackett gone, how important is it to keep the no-huddle offense?
I think it's very important to keep the no-huddle offense right now for Syracuse. What they have to do is bring an offensive coordinator that has the same philosophy, that has the same style as Hackett did. Because as I said before, with Robinson, he came in and he instituted an entirely different offense. And these kids just didn't have an idea how to buy into it fast enough. And it basically put him on the outside looking in for the rest of his tenure here at Syracuse. So right now they have to have an easy transition. So if you get an offensive coordinator with the same likeness, the same style as Hackett did, that up-tempo, you know, fast-paced offense, you know, then they'll be just fine.
Have you heard anything, any rumblings about anybody coming in?
I've heard no names about anybody coming in or any. I mean, trust me, I'll probably find out before the media does. But it's like as of right now, I've heard no names.
Well, I'm going to hold you to this. If you go in there and somehow become running backs coach and you don't call me first, I'm definitely going to have a problem with that. But you know, looking at the guys that are on the staff right now, all jokes aside, would you keep, you know, obviously Donnie Henderson comes in his first season, had a lot of NFL experience. You know, you also have Rob Moore that we've talked about, and Tyrone Wheatley that we've talked about, and then also another guy, Steve Morrison, who's come onto the team for the linebackers. Would you make any changes there, or do you feel that at least those position coaches where they stand should stay?
Why would you make changes? Look what they did the final end of the season. The guys did a great job, and I said it before. After the Louisville game, it was a turnaround. I mean, complete turnaround for the season. All I have to do now is just bring in guys that buy into the philosophy of what these guys did toward the end of the year, and they'll be fine. I wouldn't change a thing.
special teams coordinator. Syracuse does not have one. Mm-hmm. Doug Marone was taking that responsibility mm-hmm. upon himself. For or against Scott Schaefer hiring a specific person to take over the special teams?
I'm for it because all my career of playing football, we always had a special team coordinator, basically whose job was just to go out there and make us understand what special teams was, how important special teams was. You have to remember, football is three phases of a game: offense, defense, special team. Any phase can help you win a game, so it's definitely important to have a special team person in line to be able to run, oversee that, and make sure these guys do their job.
Going back to Coach Hackett, knowing that he's moving forward to the Buffalo Bills, 33 years old, very, you know, a young guy for the position, but definitely says something about what Doug Marone feels about him. Doug takes him with him and puts him here. His NFL experience with the Bills and the Bucks is as a quality control coach. Mm-hmm. So when you see Hackett elevate to offensive coordinator at 33 years old, what was your response to that?
I mean, great opportunity. As I said before, I think the youth is a movement of, you know, of this next generation. And I think Mr. Hackett will definitely go out there and do the best job he possibly can, you know, to help the Buffalo Bills thrive to possibly get to the Super Bowl. Do I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl? Nah. There's a lot of components that the Bills need to possibly get there. But I think he'll do a great job. He has a lot of weapons in Buffalo to work with. And with his style of offense, you know, and his up-tempo beat and his up-tempo demeanor, I mean, and approaching the coaching of offense, I think he'll do very, very well. I'm happy for him to be a young man in a position, because that's all I always say, that, you know, the youth of the movement, and give these younger coaches an opportunity and a chance to do it now. You know, you have coaches who are 60, 70, 80 years old in the NFL. Let those guys, you know, go on. The game's passed them by. You know, let these younger guys get in there and make their mark.
Knowing that they're both staying in New York and in upstate New York, just moving a little bit west, do you think that this was the best decision for a Buffalo Bills team that's really seemed to have no direction, that they keep a coach who's ingrained and respects and appreciates and has always yearned for the continuation of Northeastern football in Doug Marone, and bring in someone who already has understood Marone's teachings and been under Coach Marone? Was that the best decision for them?
The Bills could bring back Tom Landry, Chuck Noll, you know, name all the great, they still wouldn't be a good team. I think it's probably like for the situation and the dynamics and the makeup of Buffalo's going through right now, I think it was the best decision for them. Now they'll get the whole almost entire New York crowd now, because they're getting a Syracuse University based coach. You know, they're getting a coach with experience. They're getting a young coordinator. You know, and the only thing that can happen now, they just redid a 5-year new deal with Buffalo to stay in Buffalo for a while. So everything should be looking up and positive for them. All they have to do is one thing: go out there and win. You know, winning solves all problems.
And you look at this team and the fact that they've had was at Syracuse trying to turn around what Greg Robinson had done to the program. The Bills, at one point last season when Syracuse ended 5-7, were almost the exact same start, a strong start for the Bills, strong start for the Orange, and then both faltered toward the end of the season. How similar is the situation in Buffalo from the outside looking in to what Marone dealt with here?
You know, it's the exact same similar situation. You know, it's going to be no change for him. He just has to go in there and implement basically what he did at Syracuse into the minds of professional athletes now. That'll be his challenge. How do you get the professional athlete who's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to buy into a system that you're trying to implement as a coach? I think Doug is very personable. I know him personally. So just dealing with these grown men, you need to be able to go out there and buy into a system that he's trying to feed them. It's going to be like, you know, not an easy job for him. I mean, so right now, it's just like, I don't like the prima donna athlete. I don't think they have any prima donnas on Buffalo. So Doug just has to go out there, just be relaxed, be himself, and let these guys buy in on what he's feeding him.
Being a blue-collar coach, did it make the most sense for him to go to Buffalo, that's always talked about themselves as a blue-collar team? And Drayton Florence, who played corner for them for a few seasons and has since left, he said to me personally, we are a blue-collar mm-hmm. franchise. This is who we are. Mm-hmm. Bringing Marone in there, is that a good marriage because of that blue-collar nature?
Great marriage. I already said, Syracuse is a blue-collar university also. You know, and that was a perfect fit for Doug to come back to Syracuse and do the exact same thing he's going to do in Buffalo. The best fit Buffalo could have had was gone with Doug Marone.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Stevie Johnson, C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson, Mario Williams. All of those names on the table. If you're Doug Marone, which one of those contracts would you be most okay letting go of?
I'd have to go through a few camps first, you know, just to see where the mindset, where the mentality is, you know, with the level of, you know, attitude want to play now. Because if a certain player doesn't want to play for me as a coach, it's going to show. You know, you don't want that kind of player around. So right now, you know, he's so new coming to the table in Buffalo. He just can't just sit down there and look at all these names and be like, all right, I picked this guy here, because he doesn't know. He doesn't know him as a coach. Doesn't know their body. We talked a lot about that this year. He doesn't know their body language. You know, how they approach practice, how they approach meetings. You know, how they are in the locker room with the other players. That's something he has to look in and see. And I think after a couple of months of going through mini camps and things of that nature, he'll figure out which one of those contracts and those guys he can let go, because that guy doesn't want to be here.
Knowing Doug personally, if I had to ask you to break down his personality, who he is, if there were bullet points of what you could say about Doug, how would you describe him as a human being?
As a human being, great guy. You know, here's the thing. I base my thought perception of people off, will I let them watch my children, or, you know, or will I entrust them with my children, you know, and feel safe and go out at night. It's like, and Doug's someone who I would trust with my children.
What is it about his personality that sticks out to you the most?
You know what? He's got a good heart. You know what? He wants what's best for his fellow man. He's not a selfish bone in his body. You know, it's not about him. It's not about me. Doug doesn't point and blame anyone. I mean, if something goes wrong, he'll fault himself. I mean, if he told you to do it, he'll correct and yell at you, but he still will fault himself, because he tried to teach you and tried to instill in you what he wanted you to do, be correct. You may have gotten it wrong, but now, because you got it wrong, that's his fault. You know, and I can always have respect for a man like that, not just a coach, just a man also.
Morals and values being something that Doug Marrone, in my mind, has constantly tried to institute, that if you break the rules, if you're not going out and not only being a good football player, but you're not working to be a good person, you'll be reprimanded. Now he's dealing with professional athletes who have contracts, who are making millions of dollars. Does that, to you, continue for him? And knowing the type of person he is, do you believe that his nature, his personality, he's strong enough to take those morals and values and institute them to paid athletes?
You know, I would hope it would. I mean, I really would. Because in this day of society, that's what's lost. You know, guys are selfish, you know, they're flamboyant, you know, they're showboaty, you know, it's all about them. It's me, you know, forget you, I want to be the limelight. And I just come from an old school of, like, being with, like, Coach Mack was the same way, you know, being held accountable. You know, if I make a mistake, I'm not going to point the finger at three or four other guys and be like, you know, it was your fault. I'm going to point the finger at myself, you know, and that's what Doug brings to the table. These grown men now have to man up and step up and realize, you know what, it's not all about you. Mario Williams, I don't care if you made $80 gazillion, still man up and help this team win. They signed you to help this team win. They didn't sign you to a contract so you can go out there and flaunt all this money you have. That's not what football is all about. Football is about a team sport, going out there and winning games. And until you understand that, until you put that, put your, you know, your attitude, you know, your cockiness, you know, your deceit for others, you know, behind you, you'll never be successful as a team. A good coach goes out there and allows, whether it be college or pro, the players to understand that, you know, it's not about you. There are bigger things than you. I may be the head coach, but I put you up on a pedestal also. So go out there and prove that you can do what we brought you here to do. And that's what it's about. It's about playing together as a team and winning games.
To end, Scott Schaefer now being at Syracuse as we look to the future, if you were to describe him as a human being, what would you say about him, not just as a coach, but as a person?
You know what? He's a gentleman. From the day when I met him, he's always been respectable. Whenever I see him, always greeting me. Hey, Robert, how's it going? Always ask me about my day. Always ask me how things are going. You know, just a true, consummate gentleman. You know, and it's just, for me, it's refreshing to see that, because that's so lost in today's society. All people care about is themselves, you know? And I try and teach my son. Every time you walk into a door, you know, like, in the midst, this is my, 14-year-old son, even my 4-year-old son, you always hold the door open for a woman. You always say thank you, no thank you. You always say yes ma'am, no ma'am. You always be respectful. And that's one thing I got from Schaefer, as well as Maroon, always being respectful. Whenever I would call him, you know, he would return the call if he could. He would always just let me know that, you know, thank you, Robert. You know, this is going on. You know, always extended his hand. If you ever need me, I'm a phone call away. You know what? And that's just appreciative. All my former football teammates are the same way. They're always just respectful to one another. Just show respect. Respect is a lost art in today's society.
Well, I appreciate it as always, and thank you, you know, for being very honest and always candid in how you feel about not only the coaching staff, but the game in general.
Thanks, man.